Hello and welcome to Poet's Corner. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Today I'll be reading from the small book, The Man Who Sang the Sillies, by poet John Ciardi. John Anthony Ciardi was an American poet, translator, and etymologist. While primarily known as a poet and translator of Dante's Divine Comedy, he also wrote several volumes of children's poetry, pursued etymology, contributed to Saturday Review as a columnist and longtime poetry editor, and directed the Bread Loaf Writers Conference in Vermont. He also recorded commentaries for National Public Radio. I'll begin today with The Man Who Sang the Sillies. I met a man with a triple chin. Whenever he smiled, his chins would grin. The strangest sight that ever I saw was a smile with three grins in its jaw. "How do you do, you do, you do, you do?" he said to me. "Are you going to come my way? Be quick, for I haven't got all day. "I'll be happy to come, said I. "Young man," he said, "will you tell me why you have to say everything three times over? It's a very bad habit, you'll discover."
I'm sorry, I said. I...
"Hush, it's time for the singing. We'll have to rush this way. Come along. And off he ran as he sang this song. Oh, the sillies are the sweetest that I know. They have grins as big as tickles. They have titters up their sleeves. They make faces dill as pickles. And they spin like autumn leaves. They have cheeks as red as cherry. And they're always losing shoes. But they're very, 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 very easy to amuse. You need only call their names, and they start their giggle games. They go scramble, scramble, clatter, thump across the floor. They go tumble-flopping in and out the door. What a screech and clatter! What a roar! But I always think when it comes time to go that the sillies are the sweetest that I know. Yes, the sillies are the sweetest that I know. They're a nuisance. They're a bother. They're an everlasting noise. Sillies act like one another. Sillies act like girls and boys. Sillies think it necessary not to like what they are fed. They are very, 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 very hard to put to bed. You need only say, "Bedtime!" And they run away and climb up the chimney, up a moonbeam, out of sight, till they're caught and snuggled tight. Then they yawn and say, "Good night." And their voices are so soft, away and slow, that I have to think when it comes time to go that the luckies are the happies, and the happies are the sillies, and the sillies are the sweetest that I know. The Stranger in the Pumpkin. The stranger in the pumpkin said, "It's all dark inside your head. What a dullard you must be. Without any light, how can you see? Don't you know that heads should shine from deepest inside themselves, like mine? Well, don't stand there in a pout with that dark dome sticking out. It makes me sick to look at it. Go and get your candle lit." There was an old man. There was an old man, an old, old, old. A very old man was he, sir. All day long he felt cold, cold, cold. At night, he felt like a freezer. As I was picking a bobble bud. As I was picking a bobble bud out in the bangle thicket,
a crow with a voice the color of mud lit on a croquet wicket.
Hang the mallet and pull the stakes and clear the lawn for wishing. The needles are bringing pickle cake and all the threads are fishing.
But I was after a bobble bud there in the bangle thicket. And though his voice was the color of mud, I would not buy a ticket.
Be hanged to your mallet and stakes, I said. Be hanged to your voice like mud. I've yet to see the needle or thread that's worth a bobble bud.
A bobble bud will not be sewn. You wear it in your heart. And once you do, you're never alone, though the world would be miles apart. It wants no ticket. It wants no crowing. It wants no pickle cakes or fish. And once it's in your heart and growing, it's all there is in the world to wish. Say yes to the music or else. What I have to say of Clarence Fudd, who wouldn't say yes and wouldn't say no, is once you turn into a stick in the mud, you can't be sure where your big toe is. Suppose it itches. Suppose it twitches and wants to go where the music goes. If you're stuck in the mud like Clarence Fudd, you can't get the music into your toes. Say yes to the music when it tickles. Or else, well, just remember Clarence, whose toes turned into 10 dill pickles. That was a terrible blow to his parents. Imagine having to say to your son, "Be sure to wash your pickles, dear." That shouldn't happen to anyone, not even to parents. But never fear. Say yes to the music when it tickles, and when you come to wash your toes, you'll never find them changed to pickles. That's the way the music goes. Sylvester. Sylvester wrote to Mary Lou, said, "Will you marry me?" Replied a lady kangaroo,
"My darling, I agree."
"Agree to what?" Sylvester cried. "I've never before seen you."
"Well, no," the kangaroo replied. "But though that's perfectly true, here is your letter sent to me."
"To you? Don't be absurd."
"Don't tamper with the mails," said she. "A man must keep his word."
"My letter was sent to Mary Lou."
"But it came to me."
"Agreed."
"But you saw it wasn't addressed to you."
"How could I? I can't read."
"But then, how could you read the letter but not know how it was addressed?"
"Well, I could say your writing got better. Or I could say I just guessed."
"The point is," said the kangaroo, "and the mailman will agree, whatever you wrote to Mary Lou, that letter came to me. You must either learn to write what you mean or to mean what you write," she cried. "And though I'd rather not make a scene, I insist you must make me your bride."
"Well, we'll see about that," said Sylvester.
"No doubt we will," said the kangaroo. "And how do you think it all turned out?" "I only wish I knew."
Jerry Mulligan. Jerry Mulligan came to see me, dropped his cap in the chowder pot, put it on as he was leaving, and said,
"My word, it's getting hot. Good fish chowder, good clam chowder. Makes you want to cry for more."
3 fat clams behind his ears, Jerry started out the door. Three fat fish heads, four fat fish tails, five gray squids with 40 toes, six sea dollars, seven crab shells trickled down his hair and nose.
"It's getting foggy out," said Jerry.
"Well, goodbye," and shook my hand. Just a wave rolled down his sleeve and left me holding a ton of sand.
"Good fish chowder, good clam chowder. Makes you want to shout for more. Fills you up from the top to the cap, sir. Makes you hear the ocean roar. 8 small whales will fill a kettle. 9 large barnacles will not.
Where do all the oceans empty?
Into my big black chowder pot.
Good fish chowder, good clam chowder. Anybody seen my shoe?
Nancy put it in the chowder.
I was saving it for the stew. Bye, Jerry Mulligan. Come again, but keep your cap on when you do. The chowder pot can hold a lot, but not as much as you.
Good fish chowder, good clam chowder. Makes you shout for more and more.
Fills you up from toe to cap, sir.
Makes you hear the ocean roar.
There was a hunter from Little Town. There once was a hunter from Little Town. He made his bullets of sugar cane, and every duck that he shot down got up and flew away again. He shot a lobster out of a tree, and up it rose again and said,
"Sorry, which way is the sea?"
said the hunter.
"Aren't you dead?"
"Dead?"
said the lobster.
"What a thought! Why ever should I be dead?"
"I'm sure," said the hunter, "I heard a shot. Would you look for a hole in your head?"
"Do you call that polite?"
the lobster replied.
"I'll thank you to be more agreeable."
But he put up one claw to his forehead and cried,
"Oh, really, this wasn't foreseeable."
For there was a hole, and however he tried, he couldn't deny it.
"Oh, mercy on me,"
whipped the lobster, and promptly whirled over and died. Said the hunter,
"You're kind to agree."
And that night at supper, his wife picked a claw on the hunter at least 2 or 3, from the tiniest fat lobster that ever you saw, shot down from its perch in a tree. The most of being a boy is noise. The most of being a boy is noise. Silence doesn't do well with boys. Silence and boys, when they happen to meet, may look at each other across the street, and maybe they'll even say hello, but they always have somewhere else to go. If silence should happen to stop and play, boys are certain to run away. Or the minute silence sits down with boys, he looks over his shoulder, and there comes noise. Then he has to cover his ears and run. And the boys all shriek and think it's fun. That's what they think, and I'll say this. Most of the time, it really is. Summer song. By the sand between my toes, by the waves behind my ears, by the sunburn on my nose, by the little salty tears that make rainbows in the sun when I squeeze my eyes and run, by the way the seagulls screech, guess where I am? I'm at the... By the way the children shout, guess what happened? School is... By the way I sing this song, guess if summer lasts too long, you must answer, right or... Children, when they're very sweet, children, when they're very sweet, only bite and scratch and kick a very little, just enough to show their parents they're not sick. After all, if children should, by some horrible mistake, be entirely good all day, every parent's heart would ache. Our little monsters must be ill. They're much too well behaved. Call the doctor, do it quick. Maybe they can still be saved. Wait, they're looking better now. Johnny just kicked Billy's shin. Betty just bit Teddy's ear. Jane just stuck me with a pin. There, the little dears are fit as sharks and crocodiles, you'll find. No need for the doctor now. Get a stick and make them mind. Some cook. Johnny made a custard in the pepper pot, flavored it with mustard, put in quite a lot of garlic, fried in olive oil, brought the custard to a boil, ate it up and burned his tongue. You shouldn't cook when you're too young. The Happy Family. Before the children say good night, Mother, Father, stop and think. Have you screwed their heads on tight? Have you washed their ears with ink? Have you sat and down and thought all that earnest parents should? Have you loved them as you ought? Have you begged them to be good? And above all, when you start out the door and douse the light, think, be certain, search your heart. Have you screwed their heads on tight? If they sneeze when they're asleep, will their little heads come off? If they just breathe very deep, if especially they cough, should, alas, the little dears lose a little head or two, have you inked their little ears, girls' ears pink and boys' ears blue? Children's heads are very loose. Mother, father, screw them tight. If you feel uncertain, use a monkey wrench, but do it right. If a head should come unscrewed, you will know that you have failed. Doubtful cases should be glued. Stubborn cases should be nailed. Then when all your darlings go sweetly screaming off to bed, Mother, Father, you may know, angels guard each little head. Come the morning, you will find one by one each little head full of gentle thoughts and kind, sweetly screaming to be fed. Time. The stars sit still and the world goes round. India, Egypt, USA. The world keeps turning, the sun comes out, and that's the story of every day. Turn from the east, turn to the west. The sun comes out and starts to climb as high as noon, then down again, and that's the story of time. The stars tell time to the telescope. The telescope tells the clock. The clock tells everyone in the house. And that's the story of tick-tock. If you want to hear the star and the clock, go fish one out of the pool. If you can't do that, you'll have to wait till you learn the stars in school. But the truth is just what I said it was, and just as it has to be, and just as it always was before, and just as they taught it to me. The stars tell time to the telescope, and the telescope tells the clock, and the clock tells everyone in the house, and that's the story of tick and tock. The Man from the Woods. The man from the woods climbed out of my well with some very strange goods he wanted to sell. I was out on the farm and all alone when I saw one arm reach over the stone like a brambly shoot or a prickly hedge. And then one foot grew over the edge, like roots when they grow along the ground. It frightened me so, I turned around and started to run. But he started to sing in a voice like a pun, with a quibble-dee ring. A two-tone voice, like a brook on a hill. It was half just noise and half bird trill.
Come by, come by, what I have to sell. What's deepest, darkest, and longest gone out of the sun and down through the well to the little dark places in stone? I have veins of iron and dusts of gold, moss cake, root hair, beetle shell, the last ball Rip Van Winkle bowled, and somewhere the first as well. I have mildew glue and limestone twists, darks of caves, and water sound, bat fur, foxfire, and mandrake fists, and all the lost buttons that no one has found. I have rattlesnake rattles and dinosaur bone, hearts of sulfur and mushroom seed, good fern jelly and honeystone. Come by whatever you need.
He sang so small, and so far and near, and his voice was all so muffled and clear. So twice at once, and I think I've said, that I felt like a dunce for being afraid. So I turned around to see his face, and there wasn't a sound. There wasn't a trace. Whoever he was, he had been and gone, but there on the grass was a milk-white stone as red as a rose as ever grew, though I don't suppose you'll believe this is all true. Margaret Nash got wet, but I don't know how. Margaret Nash went swimming, splash, right in the middle of the ocean. What? Swimming where? Who took her there? I haven't the slightest notion. She jumped from a ship and cut her lip, according to the squid. She fell from a plane that was going to Spain. That's what fish say she did. Or she fell from a cloud. She wasn't allowed, except in dreams, to ride. It changed to rain, and she couldn't remain, so I'm told, by the tide. She paddled on toast, away from the coast, according to the whale. The toast soaked thin, and Margaret fell in. Phew! But what an unlikely tale. What a pack of lies. It's just not wise to trust what you hear in the ocean. And truth to tell, the fact is, well, I haven't the slightest notion. Evan Kirk. Evan Kirk is looking for work. Work? What can he do? Well, he could milk a cow, if he just knew how. He can almost buckle a shoe. He can count to 10 again and again with hardly a real mistake. He could drive a bus, if one of us would handle the wheel and the brake. He can climb a chair when no one's there and reach where the cookies are. He can catch you frogs and pollywogs at 11 cents a jar. For a nickel a day, he will hammer away at woodwork, walls, and doors. Or for nothing at all, he will paint the hall and nail down all your floors. The little deer has been working here a year. Well, almost two. And you couldn't foresee how glad we'd be to send him to work for you. It's time to get up. The sun's in the window, and who do you guess is still pretending she doesn't know I've come to call her to wash and dress and come to breakfast? Jenny? No. Jenny? Mary? Sally Lou? It's none of those, but I see a head with one eye peeking. I think I do. And someone's giggling in that bed. Who do you guess it would have to be? Well, it isn't I. I'm already dressed. And Mother's downstairs, so it couldn't be she. And there's nobody else but... you guessed. That's my buzzard, as bright as beans. Flapped your wings and on we go. We have waffles as crunchy as window screens and shredded rope to help you grow and rubber band pudding with raisins and nails and 17 kinds of preposterous meat, including the horns and the hooves and the scales. So toss back those covers and come down and eat, for the sun's in the window, a bird's on the sill, and the wind's in the top of a tree singing, oh, what a shame to be lying there still when it's time to be playing with me. Someone's face was all frowned shut, all squeezed full of grims and crinkles, pouts and scowls and gloomers, but I could see behind the wrinkles. Even with her face in a twist, I saw someone peeking through. And when someone's nose was kissed, guess who came out giggling? You! Thank you for listening to Poet's Corner. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.